to see everybody out this morning. Always great. Blessed opportunity when we can come together to study and worship as we've been blessed to do so this morning. Again, as brought out in the announcements, just so much thanks to everybody who has been assisting and helping and preparing for our PBS that's coming up and starting tomorrow. And for those who have done some work in the hallways, others that had shown up yesterday to help out. They would not be teaching, but they assisted where they could and helped, and we appreciate all that. And look forward to the week. I know a lot of work's been put into it. So hopefully we'll be able to shine God's light and help one another continue to fight that good fight, continue to help one another in doing so. This morning, going to go along with our VBS and the theme. The theme is called the Redemption Branch. And it says underneath it, it ends up pointing out that we are to be branded in the image of Jesus. So is what we're going to talk about. So I'm going to talk about redemption and being branded in the image of Christ. And so I hope that you open up your Bibles and follow along as we go through the lesson this morning. And to start off with in mindset, as we talk about redemption, being redeemed, some definitions found on the internet, brings out the act, process, or an instance of redeeming, to be redeemed, serving to offset or compensate or defect or to buy back. And then it brought out on the word branded is marked with a branding iron. Now, if you look that up, it often brings out, of course, a branded into the point of a brand, the logo or words that go for things today. But in mindset for VBS, it's the mindset of that iron that cowboys had used to mark their livestock. So a marking which shows who belong to. So with that in mind, we're going to go through the lesson and mindset of being redeemed to our God, redemption in the Lord, and being branded in the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The first thing I want to bring out as we enter into the lesson is God desires to redeem us. Right? He desires to redeem us. And as I bring that point out, the first thing I want to bring out before I get into these verses here is that, one, that we first did belong to God. At one point, we all belonged, everyone in this world, because God is our creator. We go to Genesis chapter 1, we see there that God created us in his image. In the image of God, he created the male and female. We were created in the image of God. We can bring out book, chapter, and verse, go through, go back to Jeremiah, and read there and study and see that as he speaks about Jeremiah, before he was formed in the womb, he knew him. And before he was conceived, he had chosen him, called him. And so therefore, as we look at that God is the one that has created us. He is the one and wants to redeem us. He wants to bring us back into the fold. He wants us to be his. And he desires that we still be his. In Psalm 119, in verse 9, the 119th Psalm, looking at verse 9, it says here, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word." Psalm 111. Get to the right thing. For some reason I was thinking 119. Psalm 111 and verse 9. As it reads here, it says, He has sent redemption to his people. He has ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. He sent his redemption to his people. God desiring to redeem us. And mindset, as you've been studying along our reading schedule that I put out at the beginning of the year, and you're in Jeremiah reading with us chapter day, going through it. It seems that, and I almost have to reread things because because it's a continuous point that he's making to Israel and Judah on how they have sinned and how they continue to go in that sin, that they don't have any remorse or they don't blush, they don't seek forgiveness. They the prophets and priests continue to preach peace when there is no peace. And God wanting to redeem them, God wanting to save them, he sends prophet after prophet. Right now, we're going through Jeremiah, so Jeremiah is the prophet. He's the one that is teaching them and trying to warn them to come back to him, to receive the salvation that he is extending his hand out to give to them. And so he sends his redemption to his people. We know that God desires that we all be saved today also. He desires that we be redeemed. Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 7, Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 7, if you turn along with me there, Ephesians 1. And in verse 7, as it reads, it says, in him we have redemption. And so again here, in Christ, in him, we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. And so it's through Christ that we are capable of being redeemed, that we can be saved. It's through his blood. And again, we throw John 3:16, God so loved the world, he desires all to be saved. We go to 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, where it tells us the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but as some count slackness, he is long-suffering, he is patient. Why? Because he desires all to come to repentance. He desires all to be saved. He desires to redeem everyone in which he can. And that's why he sent his son down to die for us. He was willing to pay the cost so that we can be redeemed, so that he can have us. And so in mindset, as we're theming it in a Western theme and mindset of cowboys, as we go through our BBS this week, you know, as a cowboy, if he's in charge of a livestock and he's wanting to get more livestock, he's got to purchase. We've been purchased with the blood of Christ. That was the cost in order for us to be redeemed. It was the blood of Christ that washes our sins away. In Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 15, Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 15, as you read along with me here, it says, for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And so as we look here again, the death of our Lord and Savior, it took Christ's sacrifice in order to redeem us. And within that, livestock, there are terms of redemption to be redeemed back into the Lord is what I'm going to kind of title this next point that we're getting into. That as we come into contract with one another and with our God, as we might say, we don't maybe like that wording that there's a contract, but we've entered into a covenant. We've entered into, he's promised what? He's promised heaven, eternal life, forgiveness, redemption. But he then tells us this is what you must do in order to be saved, in order to receive salvation. And so we have what we call, of course, the plan of salvation that we often go through, but they are terms of being redeemed. That in order to be a child of God, in order to get to heaven, we need to know our God. We need to know our Lord, and therefore we have to be willing to listen to his word. In Romans 10, verse 17, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As we recently studied last week, as we went through the book of Romans chapter 10, that chapter we went through, and before this verse, verse 17, we got to, I believe, verse 13, where it brings out, how can one call on him in whom he does not believe, and how can one believe in him in whom he hasn't heard? How can we be a child of God if we don't know who he is, if we don't open up the word of God and study? We don't allow our ears to be opened and listen to his word being presented and taught. So therefore, we have to be willing to
to study the scriptures. And of course, we study it to have a faith so that it leads us to our Lord and Savior. Because Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please Him. So we must have faith. We must believe in our Lord and Savior. Without faith it's impossible to please Him. Or you know Mark 16:16, he that believeth not shall be condemned. We will not have salvation. We will not be redeemed. We will not have that home in heaven if we do not have a faith in our Lord, a faith in our God. We must believe. And we also must be willing to confess our Lord and Savior in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, as you turn along with me there. Matthew 10, and in verse 32, as it brings out here, it says, therefore, everyone who confessed me before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. Verse 33, though, it says, but whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. And again, we have to be willing to admit our faith. We have to be willing to show that we belong to God. And that's where it's going to end up being that point that you must be branded. That we're not going to just stand here and say, well, I belong to God, and then God didn't brand you. He didn't put His image on you. He did not, go along your way, but no one knows because of the way you live your life that you belong to the Lord. Understand, that's the point as we get here, is that there's more to it than just the branding that was done according to cowboy time and branding your cow. And taking that brand and you pushing it on their skin and burning your mark inside of it that way. If they got mixed in with other people's cows and they got mixed in, or you're at the livestock, they know who to go to ask about these cows. If they've had their shots, they're taken care of, what kind of food they've been fed. And, who to go to by just looking at that image. Today, it's more than just for us, spiritually, more than just having a cross on my arm or wearing a cross as a necklace. That's not the branding that's taking place. That it goes along with our confession. That it goes along with our repentance of putting sin behind us and no longer walking in the ways of this world. In Acts chapter 3 and in verse 19, Acts 3 and in verse 19, here it says, therefore repent and return. Repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So we must turn away from sin and turn to the Lord. And as we turn to the Lord again, we're putting on Christ. We're putting on the Lord. And in Galatians chapter 2, read along with me here and in verse 20, says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And so Paul making the point that he has been crucified with Christ. And as he's crucified with Christ, it's because it is Christ who lives in him. As you go to the very next chapter, in chapter 3, you look in verse 27, that is what we do when we are baptized into Christ. It says, for all you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. You have put on Christ. And this is how we are branded in the image of Jesus. That when people look at us, again, they're to know who you belong to. They're to know that you are the Lord's, that you are in Christ. So that's a question we have to ask ourselves. Are you branded in the image of Christ? Do you reflect the Lord? There are many points that we can show throughout the Word of God that it shows us this. In Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 and verse 43. Here it says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I said, you love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Say that you may be sons, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends the rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And so, here to bring it out, if we are like the world, then we simply go along to the point, I have my wife, and my kids, I have my parents, I have my siblings, I have neighbors that I get along with, I have friends, and I like them all, and I love them, and I'm kind to them, but if you get on my bad side, then I hate you, and I'm not going to give you the time of day, and I'm not going to pray for you, I'm not going to bless you, I'm not going to help you. Well, it says, well, what different are you than the rest of the world? But it says you are to be a child of God, imperfect as he is. And therefore, you are to love him, to pray for him, to bless him. And therefore, people will notice the difference. They'll notice the difference when you, they might can tell that this person's been mean to you and rude to you and not treated you well, and yet you show them no harm. You don't talk behind their back. You don't go forth and do evil and wish evil upon them. There's something different about you. Why? Because you're branded in the image of Christ. Because you're being like our Father of above, and you have love towards all in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 32. As you read here, it says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Again, who are we to be like? What are we supposed to be doing here? To forgive others who have forgiven me? But if they haven't forgiven me, then I don't have to forgive them. That's not what it says. Rather, the Word of God says, do what God has done for you. Do what Christ has done for you. Be like Christ. Forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven you. Again, so we're talking about being branded. That we have the image of God. Now, understand, in the beginning, we were made in the image of God. We go and look at Jesus as he was being questioned whether or not to pay taxes. And his answer to him brings up the point again that we're supposed to be giving ourselves to God because we were made in his image. He said, look at the coin. Whose image is on it? He said, Caesar's. Render unto Caesar's what is his. But unto God, what is God's? Well, what has God's image? I do. But it's more giving more than that, that as we are being redeemed, that as we're giving ourselves back to God. It's not that we're just physically in the image of God, but we are spiritually in the way we walk, the way we believe, the way we teach. We are in the image of Christ, that we continue in his ways. That they can tell that we are children of God in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2 and verse 5 says, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. If we're to be like Christ, that we can learn to humble ourselves, that we can learn to be obedient, faithful, even to death. Even the death of the cross. Again, we want to be child of God. We want to show who we belong to. It should just naturally be seen. We live our lives upon this world. Yeah, it wasn't that long that we did the lesson and it was on what I wear doesn't say anything about us. We brought out that if you wear a logo, school logo, people are already automatically going to assume that you're a fan of that. And as Luke over here is going to UK, he's got a little tiny UK right there on his pocket. You can tell he's a fan. That's the brand on the shirt. It's showing this is the team. Well, do we show that we belong to Christ? Do we show that we belong to the Lord by the way we live our lives? The way we treat one another. The way we speak. The way we dress. The way we walk. Where it is we're going to be when the first day of the week comes along. Where we're going to be when the saints are gathering together. 1 Peter chapter 2. Again, bringing up the point that we're to be like our Lord and Savior, to continue to follow His path that He said. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 21. Says, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. And while being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed." So again, to follow in His steps, meaning that we're to try to overcome sin, commit no sin. That as others might come up against us, that we do not threaten and try to fight. While suffering, we don't try to make others suffer. We're to be like Christ. We're supposed to be branded in the image of the Lord. Shown that we're supposed to be known. As we think about, especially as we are year and another year passes by after we have obeyed the gospel, that we're supposed to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the truth, continue to better overcome the temptations that we face. It should be easier and easier to overcome these temptations. We continue to give ourselves more and more to the Lord, draw closer to the Lord. To that point that even as we think about those who might be qualified to be elders, and again, they're supposed to have a good reputation among the community. So it's supposed to be known that they are Christians, that they are set apart from the rest of the world. That if we go into some place and we run into somebody that knows a member that's here at the Westside Church of Christ, and we say, "Hey, I heard so-and-so works here." Yeah, I know them because they go to church with me. They go to church. Shouldn't be the reaction that we get. Because we should be showing others, letting others know that we are the Lord's, that His light shines through us. We're to be the light of this world, the salt of the earth. And so we ask you the question this morning, if you have been redeemed, has God forgiven your sins? And if not, if you have not been baptized and washed your sins away, we ask you why not. You have the opportunity this morning to do so. If you have been redeemed, if you have put on Christ, are you shining your light? Are you showing others that you belong to God? If you've fallen short in doing so, if you need the prayers of the congregation, if there's anything we can do for you, we let it be known.